Yeah, well, no. 5 seconds over. We're on. Very busy, very complicated. Lots of people having problems. I've just set up another counseling ministry with a young lady, and we are seeing the damage being done in the public school system, to especially to preteens. Right now, literally, there's been suggestions by counselors who are being referred through the school, that one of the young ladies that I've counseled in the past, and she, as a adolescent, she's been required to go to counseling, and now they're suggesting to the grandmother who has the child in her custody that they need a lesbian counselor for this young woman. And I'm letting you know, I'm in Mississippi, which is one of the conservative states. So please keep in mind, pay attention, because I've been a social worker. I'm now retired. I left that field because of things like this. That field is filled with people who are from the gay community. They just all of a sudden were all students focusing in on social work. They are now social workers and counselors all over the country. And this is the stuff that they promote. And that's why I left, gave up my license, is this kind of stuff. Now you see what's happening is parents are not given options if you don't follow through with the things that are being recommended by the school, and you're a parent, oh, well, suddenly you're not looking out for the best interests of your child. This is government baloney takeover. It is disgusting, sickening. Honestly, if you can get your kids into a private school, watch out there as well. Watch out there as well, because you can be paying a lot of money, but what's happened is dollars and cents are going into even private schools to force them to comply with regulations that are totally ungodly, okay? So I have to tell you, but I went to a rally. Our Dr. Witcher, who is running for governor in Mississippi, gave the most outstanding speech. He only had 10 minutes at this political rally, but his speech was amazing. And hopefully, maybe I can get a recording of it and share it with you at some point in the future. God bless everybody. I'm sorry. It's been a... Blame me. You know, I'm glad you brought this story because it's really important that people understand. Once this kind of a treatment, the hormones and the surgery, even just the hormones, but once you do this to a person, there is absolute guarantee they will be a failure in life from there on. They have attempted to turn themselves into something they can never successfully be, and they can't successfully go back to what they were. What does that spell? That spells depression and failure. I don't care how many people come out and tell you, oh, they're all happy that this happened to them. I'm sorry. I believe in God, and there is a conviction from the Holy Spirit. There is a conviction that God puts on the heart of an individual to realize they have made a mistake. And people who've had this happen have repented and come to Christ. But the fact is, they can't fix what has been done to them. You know, it's sad because doctors have come a long way, and many of them holding this high opinion of doctors. And here's the thing. There was a book written by Mary Shelley called Frankenstein. A lot of people think the creature that was created is Frankenstein, but no, it was the doctor that was Frankenstein, and he was experimenting to try and create life. I'm telling you, these doctors are no different than someone who created and attempted to experiment on dead tissue and bring it to life. These doctors are Frankenstein doctors. They have gone way beyond what God ever called them to do. And they will pay a penalty. I'm sorry, they will pay a penalty from God, because I don't know, how do you repent over that? I believe the people that have been subjected to this can repent and come back to Christ. But people who do this to children, what does the Bible say about the destruction of young children? I'm telling you, God help the doctors to come to their senses and repent, but I don't know if they can. That's mutilation in the cases we're talking about. It is evil. It is destruction. It isn't promoting anything of life. It's promoting a mindset of death. And I'm telling you, if you go online to get the testimonies of people, they are called detransitioners. They're detransitioning. They're leaving this foolishness that's been leaped on them. And I honestly believe if Jesus doesn't return in the next 10 to 15 years, this will be looked back on as some kind of a crazy fad. Sort of like when, women weren't shaving their armpits or something, you know. I know they don't in other countries, but I'm saying it's a silly thing that is being promoted socially. And I'm telling you, they'll look back in 20 years. That was silly. But the people that this to will not be looking back and silly. They're going to go, this was my life that was destroyed. Well, I have something, but I will just I'm gonna forgo that one. I'm good. I wanted to share some concerns that I had politically. I'm seeing that Christians who have been in this mode that they shouldn't get involved in politics, they're really not taking into account all of the things that politics has brought to the world, even the ancient world, even in the time when the captivity of Israel was in Babylon. And they were being forced to be told they had to worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Do you realize that was a political thing? That was a political thing. It was done just to entrap them. And they didn't have what we have, and that is the right to vote on who's in office and to vote on proposed legal matters for the government. What are the restrictions on them? What can they do and what can't they do? And as we're seeing all of this ridiculous stuff happening, I was watching a video on Daniel concerning what he was going through. And one of the words in Daniel that I, passages in Daniel, where it talks about the little horn and how through his policy, which that's also another picture of the beast of Revelation, the little horn, it says through his policy, he will cause craft to prosper. Craft in this instance means craftiness, deception, lying, that these things will prosper in the time of the little horn because of his policy. And I'd like you all to ask yourself a question here in the United States anyway. How do we get policies in place? Oh, they're done by political leaders. So my friends, you have a direct impact on policy in America, and you have to voice your concerns about what's going on. I really become very short, you know, patience with people who want to tell me Jesus would not want us involved in politics. I'm sorry. Godly leaders do not come out of secular political parties. And yes, you could be in a secular party, but you better be a Christian involved in verbalizing and voting so we in America can live in a godly nation with godly policy. Anyway, I went to a rally today. I just, you know, I realized. Well, I'm excited about seeing godly people have enough courage to get up there and run, because look at what gets done to you when you speak the truth. So I am praying for the godly leaders and the godly people who are up there trying to take their position to stand up for what's right. And if Christians won't get out and vote for them, trust me, the ungodly people will not vote in godly leaders. How do we get them? It's sad. Right. Yeah, because even those teachers that are in university studying to go teach, they're being taught incorrectly. And they're getting their brainwashing from the universities who bring Muslims in to teach on these subjects. Exactly. Usama and I went and attended one of the seminars where they were bringing in a Muslim speaker each week to talk on a different topic at the university. And we went to one of them, and it was like, what on earth are they doing? Well, we figured it out. The Muslim Saudi Arabia money was being invested in the university to create a Middle Eastern studies program at the university, including building a new building there. So, of course, all they needed to do now, they've got this money coming in, is bring these Muslims in to teach the college students, many of them getting their degree in public education. Sorry, that's the problem. Money. Get money for that. But you see, you saw me, here's the thing. They're going to pay the money, and they're going to be told, well, we don't know anything about Islam. I'm sorry. You can read the Quran. You do not need a Muslim imam to come and teach you about Islam. That's the only thing. No, I'm sorry. No. I see what you know. You don't even have to know everything. You just have to have some knowledge. And if you can question a Muslim imam, and he will go crazy because you can quote the Quran, and he's freaking out. They never want you to quote the Quran. They tell you everything else. They do not want you. Of course. Right. Hey, we got to get some Christians in there to quote from the Quran correctly, the verses that are still in the Quran that are practiced by Muslims, because the Muslims won't tell you. Of course. But you know what? If you get the right verses, you get the right verses. I'm telling you, the meeting ends because they can't answer. Remember I told you about when I went to that meeting and I read the verses and I read them from your Quran. They, oh, well, that's a corrupt translation. So let me get mine and I'll read it from mine. They read it from theirs. It was just as bad as verse. That was the end of the meeting. Well, the meeting's over now. Oh. That's right. I'll keep that in mind. No.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say that verses are made up by man. What I mean is the numbering of the verses. The numbers of the verses are made up
Thank you.
I don't get you out of context. A second, Shauna. Twenty-nine. Daybreak. I think that was very good. There's many reasons to wonder why Muslims don't have the ability to get that information, right?